right, open up your Bibles to the book of James, chapter 3. James, chapter 3, we're going to begin at verse 10 this morning. That's the verse we left off with last time. We'll start there and go into verses 11 and 12 for this morning's message. In the first part of the third chapter of James, we've been looking much at the tongue and how it is something no man can tame, how though being a small member of our body, it really creates the most problems for us. And this morning's message is going to wrap up what James has to say about the tongue. From here, he's going to move into the real, answer to our problem with our tongue, and that has to do with wisdom. He's going to begin to talk about wisdom, and that's where we should be going next in this chapter. But for this morning, the title of the message this morning is Our Tongue Reveals Our Heart. Our tongue reveals our heart. We often talk about how we can't know one another's heart, and truly I cannot and you cannot know someone else's heart. God certainly can and does. Even my own heart, when I myself look at my own heart, I must be extremely careful because my own heart can deceive me. And the scripture tells us about this. So many people go by what they're feeling and their feelings, and whether or not they feel close to God. And we cannot rely upon feelings. Feelings can be very misleading. Now, they can give us some indication, and we need to, we cannot completely disregard them, but we must not rely upon them totally either. So if I'm struggling with knowing my own heart, I certainly cannot know your heart. But one thing we can know about one another, and especially about ourselves, is what is coming out of us. What words are coming out of our mouths? What deeds, what actions are coming out of us? And that can reveal one's heart and the condition of one's heart. And so while we cannot rely entirely upon feelings, we cannot even rely entirely upon our own hearts, we are given a mind that can discern these things. But even more than that, we have, if you're born again, particularly if you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit of God who can give you understanding and direction. And we'll get into that more as we get into wisdom. But one thing the scriptures do teach us is the things that come out of our mouths can tell us a great deal about the condition of our heart. And so we need to understand that for ourselves as we do a self-evaluation of where I am and who I am. And also as we look at what others do and say. It's important that we pay attention to these things. It's important that we always go back to the scriptures as our real guide in these matters. But we need to listen to what we're saying and what others are saying, because that often reveals much about who we are and who they are. Now, that may seem a little bit confusing, because it sounds like maybe I'm trying to straddle the fence between these things. It's not a difficult issue that we're talking about. I mean, it is a difficult issue that we are talking about here. It is hard to distinguish these things. And we ought to be thankful that God helps us with this. The main thing I want us to understand as we go through these verses is we need to guard our tongues. And we need to understand that our tongues often do provide an insight into our hearts. Now, thankfully, you cannot go by everything that I say to understand who I am in my heart, because sometimes I'm going to say things I shouldn't, and so are you, so do you. But by and large, what is coming out of our mouths will tell us much about the condition of the heart. We'll try to elaborate on that a little bit more as we go along here. Let us read from the scriptures now, James chapter 3, verse 10. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your throne, O Lord, seeking your spirit, your wisdom, your direction, your understanding, O Lord, of these verses and of our own lives. Lord, it is important that we be able to evaluate ourselves and check ourselves to see if what we're saying and what we're doing is consistent with what we say we believe. It's important that we not judge others, but that we do discern what others are saying and doing so that we can know whether to listen to them and gain some understanding there. Lord, these are difficult matters. We are so thankful that you are sovereign over these things. That, Lord, you work in these things and in our midst and within us, Lord, both to change us and to help us to overcome these great difficulties. Lord, I just pray that you would help us this morning to gain understanding from your word, from your spirit. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So our words can often reveal our true spiritual condition. Our words, by and large, provide for us a strong indication of the condition of our heart. Because our words, as the scriptures are telling us here, will not very much. You can look at them and the consistency of them and make some determinations of things. Jeremiah said this in chapter 13, verse 23, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? What I want to try to distinguish for you this morning is this. The words of a lost person, the words of an unregenerate person, should be markedly different than the words of one who has been born again by the power of God.
Amen.
There should be a clear difference in the two.
Amen.
Now it is difficult because, as James points out in verse 10, he says there, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. James acknowledges that there, out of our mouths, one moment there will be blessing, and the next there may be cursing. And that is a problem. That is a real problem. He says it should not be this way. He said it should be like this. And he goes on to verse 11 and says, doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? If you ever been drank from a spring, that one moment the water was sweet and good, the next it was bitter. It generally doesn't happen that way. It's either one or the other. Can a fig tree, he says, bear olive berries? Well, no, not naturally. You shouldn't expect to go to a fig tree and pluck off olives. Either a vine, figs. You go to a fig tree to find figs. From a vine, you would expect something like grapes or berries. And then he says, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. It's either one or the other. And folks, that's the way it ought to be with our mouths if we are born again Christians. There should not be any evil thing come forth out of our mouths. The point here is that trees and vines bear fruit according to their kind. They don't bear two different kinds of fruit. Our words tell us what kind of heart we have. what kind of heart do you have? Is it the stony heart of the unregenerate person? Or do you have the heart of flesh of one whom God has quickened? It's either one or the other. You cannot be in between. You're either an unregenerate sinner or you are the born-again child of God. Now, certainly as a born-again child of God, there are times when we look and sound like an unregenerate sinner. And that is shameful. But it is also true. And we need to be careful then, and therefore, about what words we use. We live in confusing times for many. And I'm one of the many. I'm very confused at times by the things that I see going on around. And I ought not to be. I'm confused because I see people who profess to be born again Christians putting their trust and giving a lot of credit and speaking good of things that are coming from unregenerate people. And they act as if this is a good thing. And that confuses me that one would think that. Because what comes out of an unregenerate person's mouth will never be good. It may sometimes be disguised to sound like good. It certainly may at times make good sense to our flesh. But it should never make sense to our spirit. As born again children of God, we are given a spirit of discernment. We are given the ability, particularly if we study God's word and spend much time with him in prayer, we are given the ability to take what others say and be able to determine if there is any spiritual value to what they say. Sometimes, though, we act like we're shocked when an unregenerate person says something that is just plain wrong or even evil. Oh, I thought that was a good person. This world is very confused. And this is what I want to spend my time on this morning. Our problems are far deeper than what man generally thinks they are. You see, the vast majority of people today seem to think that everybody has a little bit of good in them. What does the scripture say about this? The scripture takes the very opposite stand. The scripture says there's not any good to be found in any man. There's none that doeth good. There's none that followeth after good on their own. Yet many so-called Christians want to find good in others. There's been this big movement across our nation that has gotten into the so-called professing Christian circles. They go by the slogan coexist, and the word coexist, the lettering for that is spelled with symbols from different religions. The idea being that we all ought to just get along. We're all going to the same place. Ultimately, we're all worshiping the same God. There's just many different ways to that God. I have a big problem with that. Yeah. And my big problem is not what I think about it. My big problem is what I read in the scriptures about these things. And scriptures plainly say there's only one way to God. And that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, coexist? No. Are we going to coexist for eternity? Absolutely not. Only born-again Christians, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, are going to be in heaven for eternity. All these other people that put their faith and trust in these other false religions are going to spend their time, their eternity in hell.
Amen.
There is no if or but about this. But they have a little bit of good. Their religion is a religion of peace. I'm so tired of hearing that about one religion in particular. When the clear and obvious example is, it's a religion of death and hatred for all other religions. But we got to get along with these people. There's a little bit of good in them. No, there's not. There's not. And I'm not picking on one religion in particular. I mean, I'm referring to one, it seems, most here. I'm saying this about all religions. Oh, but this religion practices this, and they're so peaceful. This religion does this, and they really help others. Those are good things. No, they're not, because they're not coming from one who a born-again person's heart.
Amen.
They're coming from the heart of one who is lost. One who is totally depraved. One who is a sinner against God. And God does not see any good in that person. So no, we're not supposed to coexist. We're not supposed to just get along. Doesn't mean we hate them. Doesn't mean we strike against them. It means we need to love them and share with them the truth of the Word of God. We need to call out their lies and share with them the truth. And let us remember that because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't mean there is good to be found in us by ourselves. And let me clarify this. The only good that's found in you and I who are professors of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the only good you're going to find in us is the goodness and the righteousness of Christ. Okay? All other religions teach you that you can become good. You can become a good person. You can overcome your station in life. You can overcome your eternity and your destiny based upon what you do. As Christians, we must understand that we are not gaining eternity by what we do. We are not becoming better people by our own efforts and because of things that we do. We are made into children of God by the power of God, based on the good that Jesus Christ has done that is imputed to us. So we cannot be arrogant or prideful when we say that we are Christians. When you say that you are a follower of Christ, it should be said in the most humble of ways. Because you understand that as a follower of Christ, it is not because of anything you've done. It is because of what Christ has done for you.
Amen.
And that should humble you, and it should humble me. But you see, our problems in our society and in the world today go far deeper than man thinks. Man's, and this is becoming an issue, it seems, of late, more and more. But man seems to be more and more thinking that everybody's going to heaven. There are many wolves dressed in lambs or sheep's clothing who have infiltrated God-fearing, Bible-believing churches who are teaching that very doctrine. And we are seeing what once were supposed to be healthy, thriving Christian congregations buy into this evil lie that all people are going to heaven. Not everybody's going to heaven. Quite possibly some of the dearest people in this world to you are not going to heaven. That's a hard thing. That's a hard thing. And I don't say that lightly. I think I've shared with at least some of you before my own father did not make any kind of profession of faith until the days just before he died. He told me then that he believed. But there's no evidence of that other than what he said. He may have said that to try to make me and our family feel better. The plain, honest truth of the matter is, I don't know. I most certainly hope that he is in heaven. And I believe that God could have quickened him at that moment and saved him. I believe that, but I have no doubts about that. I just don't know if it's so, and I won't know until I get to heaven. Some of the dearest people in our lives may be going to hell. Now, rather than that shock us or sadden us into inaction, what that should do is encourage us to redouble our efforts to preach the truth to them, to share with them the Word of God, to tell them about Jesus and what he has done. Trusting God to save that soul. That's a hard thing to do. And I think because it is hard, that's why so many are falling away from being that distinctive about these issues. It's much easier to think and believe, well, everybody's going to heaven. That way I don't have to worry about it. That's wrong. You see, mankind has the same problem today that we've always had. And that is, we are dead in our trespasses and our sins until that moment that Christ quickens us. Amen. The Spirit of God quickens us by the grace of God. And what that must tell us is this: there is nothing but sin in the unregenerate heart, or in the heart of the unregenerate man. I want you to turn now to a couple of passages in the New Testament. Mark chapter 7. I want us to read these passages, and they have a little bit of length to them. And I want you to listen to these things. They go right in hand in hand with what James has been saying to us. Certainly in our text that we read today. Mark chapter 7, verse 14. And when he had called all the people unto him, this is Jesus, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man or outside a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. In other words, they were confused. What are you saying? First of all, because he stepped on one of the Jewish traditions there. The Jews taught that certain foods would defile you. And that's the particular example he's referring to here. And so they're confused about this. And they ask him to explain it, verse 18, and he saith unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out in the draught, purging all meat. And the essence of what he's saying there is no food that defiles a man. Okay? Now this will get clarified further with Peter, a vision from the Lord, later on in the New Testament, and go on from there. But this is Jesus himself saying this here. So what he's saying is, verse 19, because it entereth not into his heart, he's saying. These things are natural, they come into your body, and they are disposed from your body. What defiles a man are those things that are matters of the heart. Verse 20, and he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. And to connect this with our text, we can say these things. Okay? And if they're coming out of an evil heart, then that's what will be coming out of our mouth. We'll be talking about all these things that he listed here. We'll be saying things about this. Turn now to Luke chapter 6, verse 43. Luke 6, 43. We're going to read some similar words. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. What makes a man an evil man? And what makes a man a good man? You get into some deep theology here, but let me try to say it this way. An evil man is an evil man because of the sin of Adam in the Garden of Eden and the evil nature that we all are born with as descendants of Adam. Now we compound that because we add our own evil deeds and thoughts to that. We are sinners, both by our own actions and by the action of Adam in our place. Now it's at this point that many modern theologians start jumping up and down and saying, oh, but that's not fair. God would never do that. He would never hold us accountable for something someone else did. And I would jump back up and down right in their face and say, oh, but I hope he does. Because it's by the good works of one good man that I am made righteous in the sight of God. You see, this thing works both ways. And you cannot deny the impact of Adam on the whole human race, what his sin did there in the Garden of Eden, and the fact that we all are born unregenerate. We have living physical bodies, but we are dead spiritually. And because we are dead spiritually, we sin tremendously against God. We have evil hearts, and there are evil things that come out of those evil hearts, including words, as well as actions. So what makes a man evil? Well, sin does. The fact that Adam sinned, the fact that we sinned. But what makes a man a good man? Oh, he cleans himself up. He goes to church. He starts reading his Bible. He starts praying. He starts helping out others who are less fortunate than himself. That's what makes a man good. Oh, no. It's not. There's only one thing in this entire universe that can make a man a good man. And that's the shed blood of Christ Jesus. That's been applied to his soul in everlasting fashion, causing him to be regenerated and born again in the power of God. That's what makes a man a good man. Not anything the man does for himself, but what Christ has done for him. And this good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. The evil man will bring forth that which is evil. Verse 46, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Who is the rock? None other than our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And anything that's been built upon that rock has been built by a master builder. And this work that he does will withstand all the storms of life. It will last for eternity, in fact. And that person who dwells in that house is one who hears what God says and does them. Verse 49, but he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Those people out there thinking that religion's going to save them. Are in for a rude awakening.
Amen.
Those people out there that are depending on good feelings that movies and books and what other people say are going to save them are in for a sad, sad day. Our trust should be in no other than the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It should be in no thing, no other person, no other religion, no other seemingly wise way of thinking. There's only one place for our trust, and that's in the only one who can change our eternal destiny, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's close now with this passage, Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. Matthew 12, verse 33. Matthew 12, verse 33. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. Now let me try to come back around full circle to what we've been talking about. Let's be talking about our fruit, and our fruit in this case being the words that come out of our mouths. That's fruit that will tell you whether the tree is corrupt or not. Whether it's a good tree or it's a corrupt tree. What is your tree? What is your heart? Verse 34, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. In other words, the words we say are coming out of our hearts. And your heart determines your words. If you're speaking out of the depraved heart we inherited from Adam that is dead, then you're going to have words that are corrupt. But if you've been born again, the words coming out of your mouth ought to be good fruit coming from a good heart that God has put within you. Verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. There's one more bad misconception going around in our world today. And that is that if a person means well, then what they say is okay, as long as they mean well. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. There are a lot of people out there that mean well, that are sincere, but what they believe is taking them straight into the pits of hell because they're believing in something other than the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care how sincere they are. I don't care how nice a person they look on the outside. I don't care about what they seem to have cleaned up. Their words will eventually reveal that their heart is corrupt. That's what will happen, by the way, to every false teacher. If you listen long enough and you compare what they say to the scriptures often enough, you'll discover that they're false teachers. Their words will give them away. We need to, first of all, make certain of our salvation. We need to make certain that we rest on nothing less than the blood of Jesus. Amen. That our hopes are built upon Christ and what He has done. That kind of faith can only truly come from a heart that's been regenerated by the power of God. We need to make certain of our salvation. And then we need to check the certainty of that salvation by what we do and by what we say. Do the words that you use at work, or that you type on Facebook, or whatever else, do they truly show that you've been born again? Now, folks, we're going to slip up, we're going to mess up, we're going to say things we know we shouldn't have. And we need to make amends for those things when we do. We need to ask forgiveness. But for the most part, the things coming out of our mouths ought to be about Jesus and ought to testify to the great salvation we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do your words make that testimony? Our tongues reveal our hearts. Let's close with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, O Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the words that you have given to us here for us to speak and to give thought to. I just pray for your Holy Spirit to truly open our minds and our understanding of these things. I particularly pray, O Lord, that you would make clear what I may have made unclear, what I might have muddied. Lord, I thank you that you do that. And I thank you, Lord, that You have the power to transform us.
Amen.
To take us from what we once were and to mold us and make us into that new person that we are in Christ. And I pray and hope that for every one of us, this is an everyday improvement. That we are growing to be more and more like our Savior. Oh Lord, I just ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand.